Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, It's Time to Wake Up. So don't pay any attention to what Don said in the children's sermon about nap time. It is now time to wake up. Based on Romans 13, our epistle, especially finding our theme in verse 11, which again reads, Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So far, the text. I encourage you to turn inside of your bulletin and find there the insert. It should be a blue insert for the color of Advent as we consider our theme, It's Time to Wake Up. Have you ever had a nightmare that you overslept and really missed something important you were supposed to attend to? Well, let me tell you about something that really happened to me. It wasn't a nightmare. I overslept, but it became a nightmare for me. I was in seminary, and the pastor who was my supervisor had left, and I was supposed to take the service by myself. But I overslept. And when I woke up and decided, I got to get to church really quickly, I got to leave the whole service all by myself, I was really shaken. I drove as quick as I could to get there, and when I tried to get dressed and put on my robes, I discovered I forgot my collar. So I ran down and found some cardboard in the Sunday school department and cut it and put it in my collar and hoped nobody would notice. It was just white cardboard. And in that congregation, we processed up the aisle to the front. When I came to the front, I had my cincture rope on, but I didn't have it as tight as it should have been. And as I faced the altar, my cincture fell from my waist to my knees to my ankles. And people began to giggle. But it got worse because that day was a particularly very sunny day. And it was also a warm day. And so I decided in my haste, I won't worry about trousers, I'll just put my boxers underneath my robes and no one will know the difference, but I forgot I had boxers with bright colored red hearts on them. And when I faced the window, you could see the red hearts and my rope cinctured to my knees and my ankles, and I had a cardboard collar on. It was an I-overslept nightmare. Do you have any I overslept nightmares? Far worse than this funny story that I told you is a person who has fallen asleep spiritually and is not ready for Jesus' second coming, for the end of the world, and for judgment day. Look at your outline. The scripture tells us the dawn is coming. The Lord is coming back, and we are living in a very special time. I wrote a Greek word on your outline. Do you see it there? It's kairos. There's two words for time in the Greek language. One is chronos, and one is kairos. From the Greek word for chronos, we get the English word chronology. Chronos in Greek simply means ordinary clock time. Tick, 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 nothing special. But kairos time means a special time, a crucial time, an unforgettable moment in history. That's kairos, not just chronos. For example, here's some kairos times. 2 p.m., Saturday, April 26th, 2003. When Beverly and I were married. Here's another kairos time. 7 p.m., Sunday, August 12th, 1979. Where were you? It was the night and time of my ordination into the Lutheran ministry. Here's one for you. 2 a.m., February 6th, 1895. Wow, you're close. It's when Babe Ruth was born. How about that? Now, the scripture tells us that we are living in a special Kairos time. Galatians 4 says this. Listen to what Galatians 4 says. When the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. When the Kairos time had come, when it was just the right time, God sent forth Jesus, born of Mary. This is His first coming, His first advent. But listen to Romans 13, talking about another Kairos. Verse 11. Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Paul says, today, now is the time. Now is the hour. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We're in the season of Advent. Advent, again, is a Latin word which means coming. It's in preparation for Jesus' first coming at Christmas, but it's also and especially in preparation for His second coming. At that Kairos moment in history, when will it be? When the heavens part and He comes back at the end of the world. The King is coming, the scripture says. And we're reminded by our sermon and the text, this is no time to be sleeping and dozing spiritually. This is no time to doze off and pretend like the end of the world or the end of your own life will never come. How do we know when that will be? Listen to Matthew 24. Keep watch. You don't know on what day the Lord will come. The Son of Man will come at an hour you least expect Him. And Romans 13 puts it this way, verse 12, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. You see, spiritually sleeping or spiritually dozing is not just embarrassing. If you fall asleep spiritually and stray away from your God and you're dozing spiritually, it's not just embarrassing like a cardboard collar or funny boxer shorts or a cincture that falls to your ankles. Spiritually dozing can have eternal consequences. If a person is spiritually asleep and not prepared to meet their God when judgment day comes, this could result in eternal separation from God. And the Bible spells that eternal separation H-E-L-L. Hell. Now, sometimes it's difficult for us to consider the end of the world. But to bring this issue closer to home this morning, let me ask you to just do something with me this morning. I want you to ask yourself the question, what would I do? And it's on your outline. What would I do if I knew that I had 1 week to live? If I was told clearly by the doctor, you have 1 week to live, what would you do? Suddenly, the things that you thought were so important, suddenly the things you spent all your lifetime working on maybe would seem pretty insignificant. So take a moment with me, would you please, right now. Take a moment now. Considering you have 1 week to live, would you make a mental list with me for yourself? You have 1 week to live. What important issues are you going to address in this coming week? You have 1 week to live. What people in your life are you going to forgive? What people in your life are you especially going to make sure that know that you love them? You have 1 week to live. What sins are you going to repent of? You have 1 week to live. What prayers are you going to pray? You have 1 week to live. What people do you need to tell about Jesus? You have 1 week to live. What things do you need to do to get closer to your Lord? my friends. What are you waiting for? How do you know when your time on this earth is up? St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, this is Roman numeral 2 in your outline, that not only are we to be ready for Jesus' second coming, we are to be dressed for the occasion. What does he mean? In getting ready for Jesus' second coming, Paul says, we are to be dressed for the occasion. We are to throw off the rags of sin. Listen to Romans 13, verse 12. It's your text. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of life. We are to cast off, strip off of ourselves the works of darkness. That is, strip off of ourselves the rags of sin, the dirty clothes of disobedience. On your outline, I alluded to another text. Look, it says Zechariah chapter 3. We won't read that this morning, but I hope you're taking these bulletins and these sermon outlines home with you to study and think about more. Go home today, sometime this week, and read Zechariah chapter 3. It's a vision. It's a vision that God gave the prophet Zechariah. And here's the vision. There's a man named Joshua who represents the whole people of God. And he stands before the heavenly throne of God, and he is dressed in filthy, stinking, dirty clothes. And right next to him, this is a court of law, and next to him stands the prosecuting attorney. In Hebrew, his name is Satan. In English, we say Satan. It means the liar or the prosecutor. And Joshua, who represents you and me, are standing before God's throne of judgment in his filthy, dirty rags of sin, and Satan is saying, "See? See? Damn him, condemning, look at his filthy rags." We'll come back to Zechariah 3 in just a moment. But Paul says in Romans 1, in getting ready for his coming, we are to strip off the filthy rags of our sin. Point B, look at number 2. We are to dress in the beautiful clothes of God's forgiveness. Listen to verse 14 of Romans 13. But instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Paul says, in place of our filthy rags of sin, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, we are to receive his forgiveness, receive his cleansing, receive his gift of the robes of righteousness. Now back to Zechariah 3. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why pastors wear these white robes, to remind us of something. So now you and Joshua are standing before the holy throne of God in your filthy rags of sin. They're dirty clothes. They smell of sin and degradation and death. And Satan, the prosecuting attorney, is saying, damn him and condemn him, look at this. But oh, in Zechariah's vision, on the other side of you and me is the attorney for the defense. Who is it? It's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ himself. Satan's accusing Jesus as our defense attorney. And he says to the prosecuting attorney in this vision of Zechariah 3, shut up, for I have spared this person from the fires. And then Jesus comes to you and to me in this vision in Zechariah 3. And strips off of us our dirty clothes of sin, and in place of them puts on us the pure white robes of forgiveness, of God's mercy. Whenever you see a pastor with this white robe, it's to represent that over the darkness of sin, God puts on each of us the very righteousness of Christ and the robes of salvation. Why do babies that are baptized, Andrea, wear a white baptismal gown? To say this child has been cleaned and forgiven. Now listen to how Paul ends verse 14 of Romans. So thou put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In view of Christ coming back again, Paul says, it's time to wake up from our spiritual sleep. To come before the Lord that he might strip off our dirty clothes and give us the righteousness of Christ. Listen to how it's put in Galatians 3:27. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. Baptism is God's clearest gift and sign that we are washed, we are cleansed, we are given these white robes in place of our robes of sin. And so Paul says that so dressed up in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, in our robes of righteousness, we are to walk around decently as God's people between Jesus' first and second coming. Listen to the text. Paul says, so then, let us walk about properly in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling and jealousy, no, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions to gratify the flesh's sinful desires. Paul is telling us, between Jesus' first coming as Mary's little babe in Bethlehem and his second coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are to walk around as God's people, keeping his commands, living a pure life. Why? Not to earn God's love, not to score heavenly brownie points, not to impress others, but to thank God for his mercy, to thank God for his love, and to witness to other of the mercy and love of God that clothes sinners like you and me with brand new clothes of righteousness and forgiveness. There's an old story from Spain about a man and his young boy named Paco who had a terrible fight. Paco was a teenager and he couldn't get along with his papa, so he ran away from home. For months and months, Paco's father tried to find him and couldn't find him. Finally, out of desperation, Paco's father took out an advertisement in the paper of Madrid, the largest city in Spain, thinking that's where he went. And the newspaper ad read this, and I'll read the quote from the newspaper ad. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. Tu padre, your father. And that next day at noon, 800 boys named Paco were gathered there to be reconciled with their father, to receive from their father his love and his forgiveness. And boy, do I have good news for you, Pacos. The Heavenly Father is here today for you. His arms stretched out for you. No matter how you've sinned, no matter how you have strayed, no matter how far from God's house you have gone, the Father is here today and says, all is forgiven. I loved you. At the holy table, whether you receive the precious body and blood of Christ or you do not yet receive but kneel for a blessing, the Lord is there to say to you, Paco, and to me, Paco, all is forgiven. I love you. I am your father. I will never forsake you. So today, on this first Sunday of Advent, it's time to wake up. It's time to be ready for Jesus' return. It's time for us to return to the Father's arms of forgiveness. It's time for us to accept his garment of salvation and forgiveness. It's time to share the message with others. My dear friends, on this first Sunday of Advent, it's time to wake up in the name of Jesus. Amen.